Today is Friday, January 6. You're listening to the GPP Shareholder Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter, a paper out this week by a group of finance and law professors, studied HSR filings and shareholder activists, and concluded that the HSR filing requirements can act as a mini poison pill discouraging activists' attacks. Co-written by professors, including our friend Frank Partnoy from UC Berkeley School of Law, Boston College Carroll School of Management, Duke Law and Emory University Goizueta Business School, the study posits that, until now, nobody has looked at the intricate interaction between antitrust regulation and shareholder activism. They looked at filings from 2000 to 2024. The crux of their argument is that HSR thresholds deter activism. Explained simply, activists often like to buy a meaningful starter stake before going public. However, if building that toehold position triggers an HSR disclosure earlier than a typical Schedule 13D, it can tip off management and their defense teams sooner than planned, potentially changing the activists' calculus and giving companies more time to prepare their defense. The authors find that, on average, activists are about 10% less likely to target companies where building an initial position would compel HSR disclosure prior to a 13D. Our results add a novel dimension by showing that the antitrust-driven HSR pre-merger notification regime can bind even before the traditional 5% 13D threshold, thereby constraining activists' ability to establish effective toeholds in a manner analogous to how disclosure or ownership rules constrain bidders in takeovers, the authors write. Speaking of M&A, activism, and antitrust, these will all be hot topics for the Tulane Corporate Law Institute in mid-March. Once again, Gladstone is polling dealmakers and our readers about their expectations for M&A in 2026. Last year, you were largely correct, with 22% of respondents predicting deal-making activity to be up sharply. Let us know what you think will happen this year. Lastly, we know our readers are preparing for the national holiday called the Super Bowl. To whet your appetite, we leave you with the new, remastered version of the acquired episode about the NFL, arguably the biggest single media franchise in the US. Yes, it's 4 hours long, but there's plenty of time to listen to it ahead of Sunday night. Now, let's turn to activism. From the Wall Street Journal, DeShaw is pushing for a board shakeup and other operational changes at CoStar, becoming the second activist in as many weeks to turn up the heat against the commercial real estate company. After Dan Loeb's Third Point previously sent a fiery letter to CoStar's board. From the deal, Ron Orrell and Okapi partners Bruce Goldfarb discuss the SEC's new guidance stating that companies no longer need to provide at least 20 days' notice of their record date ahead of annual meetings, including how the rule could make life harder for activists to influence AGM vote results. Meanwhile, Reuters reports that activist shareholder ACCR, together with a series of pension funds, has filed a resolution requesting the oil and gas giant BP to publish more details on why its spending plans align with long-term shareholder value and its climate commitments. Next up, mergers and acquisitions. Bloomberg reported that the two Elon Musk-led companies, SpaceX and XAIs, announced plans to combine in one of the largest private company acquisitions of all time. Separately, SpaceX is continuing to push forward with its IPO plans this year, with the Wall Street Journal reporting that the company is attempting to fast-track an earlier entry into major index funds once it goes public. From the Financial Times, in one of the biggest oil and gas deals in years, drilling giant Devon Energy announced an all-stock deal to acquire Coterra Energy, which would give Devon shareholders 54% of the combined entity. Also from the Financial Times, Santander agrees to buy Northeast U.S. bank Webster Financial. The Spanish lending giant became the latest European group to expand further into the U.S. with its acquisition of Connecticut-based Webster Financial. The move could bring Santander into the top 10 biggest retail and commercial banks by assets in the U.S. And finally, from the Wall Street Journal, Texas Instruments announced that it would acquire the Austin-based semiconductor company Silicon Labs in an all-cash deal valued at $7.50 billion. Moving on to corporate governance news. Business Insider reports, on Tuesday, the Walt Disney Company announced that Josh D'Amaro would become the next CEO of the iconic entertainment company, succeeding longtime CEO Bob Iger. The release also announced the promotion of Dana Walden to the newly created role of President and Chief Creative Officer. From Reuters, Kai Donrin, Japan's largest business lobby, has invited the activist firm to participate in a private meeting to discuss potential strategies to continue to reform the country's corporate governance ecosystem. Knowledge at Wharton featured a joint study from Wharton's Brian D. Feinstein and NYU Law's Daniel J. Hemmel, examining Delaware's politically balanced judiciary, arguing that historical shareholder returns make the case for the effectiveness of the framework. In the land of public offerings, in the inaugural episode of Bloomberg Deals TV show, Sullivan and Cromwell co-head of global M&A, Melissa Sawyer, discusses how the recent uptick in the IPO market is a potential early indicator for PE sponsors exiting portfolio companies and recycling that capital into new deals. Barron's highlights 8 companies that officially went public this week, with notable names including Bob's Discount Furniture, Veridermics, Once Upon a Farm, and more. And for From Our Desk to Yours, this week the foodies at GPP set off to follow Lee Hansen and Riyad Nasser, winners of the 2025 James Beard Award for Outstanding Restaurateur, throughout New York City. Although we did not make it to their recreation of legendary bistro, Le Vaudor, it is next on our list. We began restaurant week right in GPP's backyard at Le Roc, located in Rockefeller Center. To start, our eyes were caught by the Martini's Maison section of the beverage menu, where we enjoyed the Au Poivre Martini, and then went off script, feeling like James Bond, for a classic Vesper Martini. For the meal, we split the escargots and crab cake before having the scallops, with a fantastic roasted cauliflower on the side, and of course, the steak frites that included a generous portion of béarnaise. Our next meal on the tour took us downtown to Tribissa to visit the classic Franchette. We reached for the vino for this meal, venturing to the Auvergne region of France, enjoying a 2022 vintage of Henri Chauvet's Abrupts. A bottle of this complicated Gamay blend paired beautifully with our meal, which started with the Couteau Casino, a lovely French take on Clam's Casino but with fennel, and Tarte Tatin à l'Echalote. The bone marrow vinaigrette truly brings out the shallots. We finished our tour with their classic filet au poivre, which left us happy and full. For both locations, the bread and butter are a must to start the meal as it is always made from scratch, and the chefs are known for a bakery focus. We hope you are hungry and let us know which chef, restaurateur we should follow next. Now to People Moves. Brookfield promoted Connor Teskey to the chief executive role of its asset management arm as part of succession planning for Bruce Flatt. Uber's VP of Strategic Finance and Investor Relations, Balaji Krishnamurthy, will replace CFO Prashanth Mahendra Raja as the rideshare giant focuses on AV expansion. PayPal replaced its chief executive Alex Chriss with former HP CEO Enrique Lores, effective March 1. In a subsequent move, HP announced a leadership transition and that board member Bruce Broussard would be interim CEO. And finally, a quick look ahead at upcoming events. March 3 to 4, Bloomberg Invest, New York, New York. March 19 to 20, Tulane Corporate Law Institute, New Orleans, Los Angeles.